So I just got a call from a friend that he's had a little bit of a spiritual moment. He called me and he said, "Hey man, you know, I know everything you do with the homeless and stuff," which I'm going to state right off the bat here that I've actually been slacking on. I have not done as much outreach as I had in the beginning, and that has weighed heavy on my heart, and I'm going to start ramping it up again, God willing, you know. And but besides that, he stated, you know, like all his Christian friends are telling him, he's got to go to church, he's got to get back on the right path, he's sinning, he's doing this and doing that. But he had an awakening moment. He was sitting at a bus station, he looked over at and saw a homeless guy, and he just started crying. And I said, "Yeah, man, it happens to me all the time. I understand, because you want to do something, but you may not be able to do much, or you wish you could do more, and it breaks your heart that you can't." And that's God. That's God speaking through you. That's not God making you feel bad. That's not God saying, "Oh, you should do more," or guilting you into anything. That's just God saying, "Hey, it's okay. You know, do what you can. Do the best you can to help them, and let me worry about the rest." And so he was like, "You know, I want to do something. I want to make from this point forward something. I want to do something that's going to make a change." And that's where I am in my life. And that's where I was a couple of years ago when I started all, when I fell into Christianity and all that. I wanted to make a change. And I've since then stepped away from it all. I believe a different way. And according to a lot of my Christian friends, I'm going to hell. And I was never a Christian, blah, blah, blah. But no matter what any of them say, I will always say that Jesus Christ was my Savior, because the words of Jesus Christ, the red letters, are what changed my way of thinking. And so I will be forever thankful for that. But the sad part is that my friend is being lambasted because he wants to, you know, go and help people on the streets, go and help people with addictions. And, you know, he's a musician. He wants to sing for them and everything. He wants to do that, but he doesn't want to go and do it at a church. And he's being told that's wrong. And I told him, you know, "Hey, I don't go to church personally myself, but if you think that it will help you, then you should go." But yes, the problem is he joined one of the churches and he got on the street team, quote unquote, street team. And that's where you go out and you help people and all that. The problem is they want to sit you through 3 months of biblical study and, you know, all that before you can go out and do anything on the street team. Makes no sense. I mean, it's great that they have these little teams, although I've never really seen them, but it's great that they have them. But, you know, when a person's feeling that awakening moment that God is speaking to them, that they want to help, they want to do something, they want to get active, proactive in it, you can't stick them in a room for 3 months just asking them for tithes the whole time. Sorry, I know, but I had to say that part. So my thing is, this little rant is, it's not so much against the church, it's not against Christianity, it's against certain things that just never made sense to me, you know. The number one thing is, for me, God is not in the church. God is in the church by means of God is in the heart of all the people that are in that church. He is in the heart, mind, and hopefully body and soul of everybody that's in that church. And if that is so, then he is in that church. But an empty church is an empty building. That's all it is. It's just an empty building, okay? Jesus did not say, go around and spread the word and make churches. He said, go around, baptize people, and spread the word, and tell them the good news, and blah, blah. Now, churches obviously came into play from that, because it was definitely a place that people could gather and find out the word. That's fine. But that's not what that church was then, is not what the church is now, okay? If we have certain, I'm not trying to diss churches. I know plenty of churches, big and small, that do help the community. But the way that they do it, there's way too much red tape. Way too much red tape. And it's the same thing with societal programs, with government programs and state programs. There's way too much red tape, but we're not going to get into that subject now. So my friend here he's feeling in his heart, I've got to do something, you know, and I'm going to tell him he can only do what he can do, because that, when I started off, I was like, I got to do something. I got to give it all away. I got to sell everything I have and give it all to the poor, like Jesus said. But you know what? You can't really do that. I can't drive around and help people if I can't put gas in my car and all that. But you get to that point where you want to help. It's a calling. I mean, it's the best way I can describe it. I haven't seen any visions. Jesus didn't talk to me. He talked to me through his words. But I had that awakening moment. And now my friend is going through that. And so he's asking me for advice and what can I do? And he's asking me about the church. And I told him, like I said, you go to the church. If it makes you feel good and you're around people that, you know, you feel love and all that, then do it. If you go there and you feel contradiction or you feel hypocrisy or you feel like you're being condemned which is often the case, unfortunately, then leave that. But it's just, it's sad because so many people have to understand that. The other thing that cracked me up was about them telling him he had to be, you know, 3 months of Bible training to do it. This is a brother that I know that actually made it all the way up to the very last month of seminary school to become a pastor. So he's like 1 month away. He had to read like four more things and then he would have been a pastor. But they want him to sit through 3 months of classes before he can go out and help anybody. And it's a rule that they can't go out and do it on their own. They have to wait until they pass the 3 months, which is kind of silly to me. What I'm getting at, though, is that, you know, like I said, Jesus didn't say to go out and start these programs or anything. Yes, if they're beneficial, I mean, obviously you need to train certain people so they know how to interact with people. But at the same time, too, is I've been out on the streets dealing with the homeless for years now. And a lot of them, they take the food, they'll take whatever from the church groups that come out and they'll walk away because they don't want to hear the whole spiel of it. They don't want it jammed down their throat. And it's not that it's not a good message. Most of them already know the message. Most homeless are religiously raised, so they know the message. But they don't want it to be a condition as to how they get the food or anything. So I understand you've got to train certain people to interact because it is important. You don't want to just send Mary out to a homeless encampment without her knowing what she's walking into. But I don't know if that's what they're training him for or if they're training him just on Bible. But what I'm getting at is that what Jesus says himself is, you know, go out and preach the word, go and spread the good news. And he's telling them, you know, spread the good news, spread the word, have them baptized, have them repent, and to obey the commandments. He says his commandments, the commandments that he told them. Okay, so you can get into the Ten Commandments and all that, bring it all in, whatever you want to do. But he did, but he's generally, now this is an opinion, just like any other thing that you hear from any pastor, priest, imam, or anybody, it's just their opinion of the reading. It's not factual. Just because your pastor says, this is the way God says it. No, it's just the way he reads it. So I hope anybody that ever listens to this and is a Bible reader or a Quran reader or any reader of any book understands that what you're hearing from those that you think are quote-unquote authorities in the matter, they're just giving you opinions. That's all it is. They've been doing it since 100 AD. So it's just their opinion. Paul, it was just his opinion. It was just Peter's opinion. It was all just opinions. So it's the main reason why I stick to the red letters. But if you're going to go by what Jesus said that his commandments, his laws are love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. He means to love your neighbor just like you love God. You're obviously going to hold God in a higher regard, and that's fine. But he's telling you to do both. And then he tells you to go out and treat others the way you would like to be treated. Not how the church would like to be treated. Not how he even would like to be treated. But how you would like to be treated. Therefore, when you help somebody else, you help them because you're helping them because you would want somebody to do the same for you. You're not doing it because you want praise. You're not doing it because you want to look good on Facebook. You're not doing it because you want to look good in church. You're not doing it for any selfish, prideful, egotistical reason. You're doing it because you're hoping that if, God forbid, it ever happens to you, that somebody will do the same for you. That is the sole reason he tells you to do that. You cannot do that in a church with closed or locked doors on a Sunday or a Wednesday or a Thursday or whatever denominational day that you decide to go. That's not how it works. If you want to practice the words of Jesus, if you want to obey the commandments of your Lord and Savior, then it's not spent in church on those days. It's spent out on the streets helping your neighbor. Your neighbor is not your Christian neighbor, not your Jewish neighbor. It's not, it's the next person, okay? The person that is sitting next to you, whether it be a stranger or not, is, by definition, your neighbor. If you look up the definition of neighbor, it does not mean that a person has to live in a household, okay? And we have to understand that these are English words that were brought over from Aramaic and Greek. If you look up neighbor, it's different there. The person next to you. Treat everybody with love and respect as you would want treated upon yourself. It is not about going to church. It is not about joining the rock band at church. It is not about, it's not about any of that. Yes, those things can lead to everything that I'm telling you you should try, but you don't have to have authority of the church telling you how to do it. You can just do it. Anybody can donate. Anybody can pass out socks. Anybody can help a down brother or sister, whether you know them personally or don't know them. Obviously, be careful. Obviously, know what you're getting into. You know, take precautions. But at the same time, don't rely on somebody that's telling you this is how it's done, because this is how God wanted it. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that you have to go to church or go to church and learn a program on how to help somebody. It doesn't say that. It does say you have to go to church according to some people in the Bible, but not Jesus. Okay, Paul is Paul. Paul's just a man. Paul's not Jesus. Everybody, I pray everybody knows that. Unfortunately, that's my biggest gripe with the church, is that it's Paulinian. It's not Jesus. I have nothing against Brother Paul. Some of my favorite verses of the Bible are from Brother Paul, but I follow Jesus. I try to follow Jesus. I don't do a very good job of it. I'm actually horrible at it. I'm a horrible sinner. I will probably always be a horrible sinner. I've been baptized. I've been forgiven. And I rely on that. If that doesn't work, then I'm no better or worse off than I was before I was baptized. But that's not the point. I'm still going to do my very best, no matter what my outcome is, no matter where I may end up. I may end up in a quote-unquote hell, a quote-unquote heaven, or I might end up in eternal nothingness. But it doesn't matter. I'm not thinking about that endpoint. I'm thinking about what's going to bring me to that endpoint. Can I be not so much proud of myself, but can I say at the end, I did the best I could? I didn't do good. I didn't do a lot of good. There was many a times, plenty, out of the majority of my life, Father, there was the majority of the time in my life I did horrible. But towards the end, I tried to do what I thought you wanted me to do. And I didn't do it for brownie points. I didn't get into heaven. I didn't do it to get into heaven or escape hell. I did it because you placed it in my heart that that's what I'm supposed to do. That's my moral decision. Not somebody else's decision made for me, but my decision enforced by your spirit. People need to stop relying on the church to tell them what and who God is. And people need to start understanding and realizing and looking within to find what or who God is. And until that happens, it will just be the same red tape over and over. And we will never fix any problems. And it's sad. It really is sad, because this brother is a good dude. And I know him, and he's got a good heart, and he always has. And yet now he's one of the millions that has been lambasted for saying that he wants to do more to help others, but outside of the church. Well, you gotta do it in the church. Without the church, there is no God. How blasphemous is that alone right there, to say that without the church involvement, there is no God? God is in you. You are within it. I'm going off on a little rant there, but he speaks to you. It speaks to you. He, she, whatever you want to call it, it will speak through you and to you. And it will tell you, and it will open up ways. Jesus, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be open for you. Those are all things not for personal gain, but how can I help, Lord? Here's the answer. But how do I find the tools to do that? Seek it, you'll find it. But what if I get all this stuff and don't do it right? Knock on that door, and I'll answer it for you, and we'll get answers together. These are the messages that I received. So if I receive them, then I know that other people have received them. Now, at the same time, like I said earlier about a pastor saying something, that's just his opinion. This is just my opinion of how that verse reads. But I prefer my opinion over the opinion of, well, ask for a new car and God will give you a new car. Or seek that new job or new girlfriend and God will give. I don't want any of that stuff. I want to know how I can help. I want to know what minuscule little thing on this big round blue marble that's floating in nothingness, what is the one little thing that my speck of existence can do to benefit another speck of existence, my neighbor? That's all I want. If I'm a heretic, if I'm really a devil worshiper, or I was never really a Christian because I state that fact that I just said, my opinion of what I want to do in his views, then so be it. But do not go around judging brothers and sisters because they refuse to sit in a meeting for 3 months being sold t-shirts, tithing, and all the other stuff before they can help anybody. You can expedite that program a little bit. I'm sure you can. I love all of you. I hope that you all will see it. Like, I've been so blessed to be able to see that. It is a he to me. It is a fatherly figure to me. But to you, it can be anything you want. He gave me conviction. And he gave me understanding. And he gave me the greatest gift of all. And that was compassion and empathy and mercy. And all he wants me to do is pass that forward. So I hope and I pray that all of you will see that it is within you, and you will always be within it, and it is unconditional, and it will always be unconditionally loving of you. If you make mistakes, you make mistakes. But if you have love to give and you ask and seek and knock, it will be shown to you how for you yourself to best give that love out. I love you all.